Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Okay, everybody, we're right back, and I feel like in some ways I'm a little bit behind schedule. I had a million questions for our guests tonight. By the way, for you people who are just tuning in, we have Dave Gary, who's written a book, a tremendous book, called Erasing the Liberty, and he's in the process of making a movie with the same title, Erasing the Liberty. I'd like to chime in with just a minute before, and soon, very soon, we're going to let Matt ask a few questions, but we have to let this guy. He's got a long ways to go. I've heard him, and he's got a lot of points he's got to make. But first of all, I would just like to make this comment. You know, all of our life, I'm 71 years old. We've always heard about the Day of Infamy, the Day of Infamy, when the Japanese, you know, for no reason whatsoever, bombed Pearl Harbor. Well, if you go and if you research that fact, they had a lot of reasons to bomb Pearl Harbor, and I'm certainly not taking up for the Japs. My dad fought in the Pacific, and God knows he went to his grave hating the Japs. And I tried to tell him they were fighting just for the same reason we fought in every other banker war. But listen, we were not, the Japanese were not our allies in any way, shape, form, or fashion. There was hostilities going on between the United States and Japan before that. We had cut their oil off. We had cut their scrap metal off. We had did everything we could do to get them to attack us. We stuck our government stuck our thumb in their eyes countless times. Israel, the wonderful nation over there in the Mideast, a little sandbox, they're supposed to be our wonderful ally, our best ally in the world. We're supposed to love them and almost worship them. If you're in the Southern Baptist Church, you're supposed to get on your knees and worship the state of Israel. You're supposed to worship the Zionist Jews. You know what? These wonderful people, for no reason whatsoever, just came out of the blue and attacked a United States ship in international waters, and they tried their dead level best to kill American sailors, and Marines, and they napalmed them. They even shot the lifeboats when they were in the sea. The survivor people that were trying to get away from the ship, trying to escape, these Israelis machine gunned the lifeboats people. That, I'm telling you flat out, that's a day of infamy. That is the biggest day of infamy this country has ever been in. We have never had a more dastardly, more low-down, vicious sneak attack on our country than that. What happened with these stinking Israelis over there that did that. And with that, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to go right back to Dave where he started off. Dave, pretty soon. Get rolling. And Matt, save a question. Any questions you have, we're going to get. We've got a long ways to go in a short time to get there. Go ahead, Dave. Start off where you were going, fella.
No, please. You're 100% right what you were saying. I was enjoying listening to you. It was a horrendous part of our history that primarily American Jews have prevented Americans from learning about, and that's the worst part about it. I have three sons, and one of my sons, the youngest, is in sixth grade, and sure enough, he should be learning about the most decorated ship in the history of the Navy, but these aliens are preventing him and the rest of American school children from learning about this event that occurred, which, of course, once people learn about it, it's going to give them a completely different view of this little tiny country in the Middle East and their own government. But please go ahead and ask me whatever questions you might have.
Well, before the break, you were talking about the flags, and I want to make it very clear to the audience. So maybe some of our audience is saying, well, maybe they couldn't see what flag it was or that it was an American ship. But I've heard that it was a large American flag. Can you explain that a little more?
Absolutely. In fact, that is perhaps the one point of reference with the Liberty that everyone who was aboard that ship agrees that not only was the American flag flying, but it was a perfect day, hardly a cloud in the sky. The Mediterranean was as one of the survivors described to me, like glass. And many of these survivors specifically remember going topside and looking at the flag, some of them because they really liked the way it looked. They loved looking at the stars and stripes fluttering in the wind. So unequivocally, undeniably, the flag was flying. Even after the enemy shot down the flag, the larger flag was put up, the holiday colors flag. So without a doubt, the flag was flying.
Well, you know, Dave, they also, if everybody knows, I'm not even a sailor, but everybody and his mama knows that all United States ships in the, you know, Navy ships are have a clearly identifiable numbers written on the sides of the ships. You would know more about that than that. Tell us about the way the ships are numbered. And I think they have this thing called Jane's ships, book of fighting ships, et cetera, et cetera. Talk about those numbers, Dave.
Yeah, sure. As a matter of fact, on the day of the massacre, on June 8th, 1967, Israel surveilled the Liberty for about 6 hours, from 0600 hours till about noon. And they, this is recorded, documented. They clearly identified the Liberty via, as you mentioned, Jane's fighting ships. So they knew that it was the Liberty. It was undeniable that they knew that it was. The lie that they used to say that they attacked it without knowing what it was, and this is one of the most sophisticated armed forces in the world here. All of a sudden, they're bungling this. Yeah, we believe you. The reason they said is because they had it plotted on their little war board there, and then someone went to lunch and then moved it, or maybe they sneezed and it got moved. Who knows? But then they forgot all about the Liberty. So they knew it from Jane's, and of course it's unmistakable when you are surveilling a ship like the Liberty, when these Nor'atlases, they had mostly French equipment because the United States at that time was not supplying Israel with any weapons. It was only after they committed the massacre that they were rewarded the following year with 50 F-4 Phantoms. So it seems that when they abuse America, then America returns stuff to them or gives stuff to them for free off of our backs. And that continues to this day. But the surveillance planes, the propeller planes, the Nor'atlases were flying as close as about 200 feet from the Liberty. In fact, so close that Liberty crew members distinctively remember seeing the pilots and waving to them, and they were waving back. So what they were actually doing was they were gathering intelligence to pass on to the jets that would then commit the massacre, beginning at about 1400 hours local time.
You know, Dave, you mentioned the United States gave them 50 high-tech fighter planes, and that'd be in the best tradition of the Southern Baptist Church, which I used to be a member of the Southern Baptist and a church, and it broke my heart when I had to leave. But, you know, you can tell these people in the church this story, and some of them will listen to you, but it's just like they're just numb to it. Well, listen, we're going to the music. We've got to go take another break. This won't be a real long break, but we'll be right back, people, and we're going to get right back to this riveting story. See you in a few minutes.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly. But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
All right, everybody. I certainly appreciate y'all tuning in tonight. We have a great guest here who's exposing some horrible truths that's been committed against us by our wonderful ally Israel. And with that, I'm going to shut up and go back to Dave and let him. I'm going to get out of his way. We're going to let him just finish talking about what happened this segment, and I want to get back to his movie soon. Put it this way: before the night's out, I want to get back to the movie. But to get you started, Dave, I would like to ask, and go back where you was, why after the attack started? Well, talk about the attack. I don't want to start talking about why they didn't rescue him before we go to the attack, if you will. When did the ship first come under the attack, Dave? I hope I'm not getting you off balance.
No, absolutely. No, I appreciate you being interested in this and your colleague. No, this is something that, needs to be talked about as much as possible. No, the attack started at, like I said, about 1400 hours, which is 2 o'clock p.m. Local time, just about that time. And that was committed by a couple of Mirage jets, French attack jets. And in less than 5 seconds, they took out almost every of the 45 antennae that were used to intercept communication. So because of the surveillance that was done, they knew exactly where to hit, what to hit. They took out the gun tubs. They massacred innocent boys in the gun tubs defending their ship. Rockets tore right through the gun tubs, right through the boys, turned one of them into basically a soup of body parts, blood streaming down the bulkheads. These pictures still exist. Attack by the Mirages lasted for about 5 to 10 minutes till they expended all of their armaments. And then two Mystere attack bombers moved in and continued the massacre. Remember, the Liberty, because it was not a warship, because it was unarmed and unarmored, many of the crew were sunbathing on the deck when the massacre began. So they never imagined in a million years that Israel would commit this horrendous crime. The Mystères dropped napalm on the ship. And really, what I uncovered was the reason that they dropped the napalm wasn't to actually hurt humans, although it certainly doesn't help humans.
It was suntan lotion.
Yeah, right. It creates self-sustaining winds that can suck, and it does. It actually sucks the air out of your lungs and suffocates you. And when it gets on your skin, it's near impossible to get it off. But they did it to destroy the electronic equipment, to finish it off. So they put about 850 cannon and rocket holes in the ship when they were done. After that first assault wave, there were about under 10 Americans dead, many more wounded. And then the three motor torpedo boats, and by the way, these jets were, according to the crew, every one of the crew, unmarked. Whether or not they were unmarked is kind of up to debate, only because of the speed with which they were traveling. But every crew member that I talked to, and it was about 30 of them, all of them said that they were unmarked. The motor torpedo boats came in for the kill. Some of the boys thought that they were coming to help because they saw the Israeli Star of David flag flying in the middle boat. And they found out shortly after that they were there to hurt them. They launched five torpedoes. Sadly, one hit directly on the starboard, which is the right side, right about amidships. And it almost instantly vaporized 25 Americans, including two Marines and one civilian. So when it was all said and done, 31 sailors, two Marines, and one civilian were mercilessly murdered. The motor torpedo boats continued to fire their armaments at the Liberty, coming even right next to the Liberty, which is another reason that we know for sure that they knew it was a U.S. vessel, because when you are in a motor torpedo boat, a small vessel underneath this big cargo ship, looking at USS Liberty right above you, or the AGTR or GTR-5, you know for sure it's a U.S. ship. But they continued to pelt the Liberty with their 50 caliber machine guns and their 20 and 30 and 40 caliber weapons in order to pierce the skin and puncture the boiler, hoping that seawater would rush in because then it would sink it. And that's what they were intent on doing. It was only
I was going, and I just want to interject this. I should have earlier, but had it not been for my poor memory, I would have. Also, people, it's unmistakable. The Israelis knew who the ship was, and for the economy of time, I'm just going to go back. I've heard Dave say before, the Israelis, military people, called in one of our secretaries of defense. Called in one of our defense guys. Before they attacked the ship, the Liberty, and told them, if you don't get that ship out of the location, even though Liberty was in international waters, they said, if we don't get your ship, United States ship Liberty, out of that area of the ocean, we're going to attack it. And Dave, I know we don't have a whole lot of time left. We got about a half hour, but there's so much to do. But I'm right there, correct? Am I right there?
Well, that's 100% correct, and this is a part of the Liberty that not very many people know about. They will know, but the reason is because it's not something that the Jewish-controlled media wants you to know, because that's one of the pieces to the puzzle that shows that they absolutely knew that it was a U.S. ship, and they warned the United States, the most powerful nation in the world, their only friend. They warned their only friend to get it out of there, or they were going to attack it. So, yeah, undeniably, they knew that it was a U.S. ship, of course. And that,
there's no way
that's one of the
on Earth. Correct. There's no way on Earth that anyone could be made to believe, if you have a half a brain, that the Israelis did not know that was an American ship. Continue on, Dave. I just wanted to get that point out there.
Yes, and that's a very important point that should be stressed over and over again. There's no way. And so when you see these Zionist tools online or on radio trying to tell you otherwise, you know that they are there to hurt the cause of simply trying to get this story out. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's quite right. Before we come, we'll be going to a break very soon, but I've had to have a few more questions to ask before we the show ends tonight. And then I want to, after we get these questions out, I want you to go to your movie. And Lee Cochran is going to take over and ask all the technical questions about the movie. But listen, the questions I have is, why, when the attack started, why on earth did the Sixth Fleet not send jets or destroyers to rescue that ship? Why did they not do that? Why? And I know this for a fact. You can correct me if I'm wrong. The Admiral of the Fleet, I think McCain, was going to told Lyndon Baines Johnson, we're going to send jets to rescue the Liberty. We hear the music. When we come back, I'm going to continue this, and we'll continue on asking a couple of questions, and we'll go straight to the movie. We'll be right back, people. Hang on to your seats.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie, 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 and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
The Innis is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, if you were a sailor on the United States ship Liberty back in 1967, you certainly didn't feel lucky. That was not your lucky day. People were right back with Dave Gary talking about this book and the movie, in case you hadn't been listening. And I've got one question to ask and maybe one comment, and then we're going to let Dave go in the very last segment. At least we've got to cover the movie, and Lee Cochran is going to ask some questions about the movie. But before we went to the break, Dave, I'd ask, why on earth did the Sixth Fleet not send fighters out to protect the Liberty? And who called? I know it's – well, I'll just sum it up for the economy of time. My story has been that Admiral McCain radioed to, was in contact with LBJ, said he's going to send fighters. They, matter of fact, they had dispatched shot fighters to protect the Liberty to drive off the Israeli planes and torpedo ships. But LBJ said, you recall those planes? He said, I want that GD ship on the bottom of the GD ocean. He said, I do not want to embarrass our allies. And if I'm right there, if that admiral had one cojone in his body, here's what he should have done. He should have said, Mr. President, I will not, under any circumstances, recall those jets. Those are my sailors out there. I'm responsible for their help, and I'm not going to recall them. And furthermore, I'm miking this conversation I'm having with you right now. If you do not rescind that order, I'm going to go to every newspaper in the world and tell them just what you said, that you have said you wanted that GD American ship at the bottom of the ocean. And, kind of take off on that. Let me know if I'm wrong, Dave, and go into that. We'll explain that some. Then we've got to get to your movie because we don't have a whole lot of time left. Go ahead, Dave.
Sure, of course. Yes, there's a lot of mythology surrounding the Liberty, and that's one part of it. And the way that it unfolded was that, and very few people know this, and the only reason I know it is because I... I've been approached by a lot of people who found out about my research and then wanted to tell me their experience with it. So, and again, very few people know about this right now. But what happened was that the Liberty didn't know who was, as I said, who was attacking it when the planes attacked. And so when they got off the SOS, they said, any station, this net, this is Rockstar, and Rockstar was the Liberty's code name. This is Rockstar. We are under attack by unidentified jet aircraft. So they kept sending out this message. What they didn't know was that the wonderful Israelis were not only jamming their tactical frequencies, they were jamming their distress frequencies, which is a war crime. And by the way, I didn't mention, and you mentioned it, but yes, the motor torpedo boats did machine gun the life rafts, which is another war crime. So the certain vessels and stations received the Liberty's SOS. And yes, there was a war game going on at the time. The closest ships in the area were conducting a war game off the coast of Crete, which was several hundred miles away. And so they did eventually launch or scramble some jets to come to the aid of the Liberty, and they were called back. They scrambled some more, and Secretary of Defense McNamara called them back. That order was challenged by Rear Admiral Geis, who was aboard the USS America, an aircraft carrier at the time. And then what happened was the next voice you heard was Johnson saying, or threatening Geis that he would be pushing pencils. He said, get those planes back. I'm not going to embarrass an ally over a few dead sailors. He didn't say that he wanted it on the bottom. That's not true. I have this corroborated from two different sources. But people don't realize why Johnson called the jets back. The reason that he called the jets back was that the first use of the hotline was during this time period here. And the first entity to use the hotline was the Soviet Union, Moscow calling D.C., and it was the premier, Kosygin, who called Johnson because the Soviet Union was flush in the Eastern Mediterranean. They were constantly badgering U.S. and U.K. vessels, and they saw the planes lift off from the carrier, and he threatened Johnson that if they didn't get those planes back, that they would shoot them down. The next use of the hotline was Johnson confirming that he would get the planes back. So that's the real reason they called the planes back. They didn't call the planes back because they wanted Israel to sink the ship, because the plan wasn't to sink the ship for the jets, but the Israeli Navy, I believe, wasn't in on the plan. And so they came and they said, hey, look, you know, we're going to have our fun now. There's a warship in the area. They're shelling the coast. Let's take them out, because that's what they were told. So, no, Johnson didn't say that.
So, if you would, Dave, clarify that one more time. I missed it. Some of the audience might have missed it. So, who threatened to shoot American planes, American fighters down? Was it the Russians?
Yeah, the Soviet Union. The first use of the hotline was the Soviet premier, Kosygin, contacting Johnson because he was told that the jets, armed fighter jets, launched off from the USS Saratoga, another carrier that was in the area. And he called Johnson to say, get them back, because he didn't know if the United States was trying to assist Israel during the clashes that were occurring. So that's why, yes.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I've been putting out the wrong story for quite a few years, but thank you so much for correcting me there. I guess what we should do now, for economy of time, let's get deeper into your movie, Dave, and I want to explain the movie, and I'm going to turn the mic over to my other co-host. We have another guy named Lee Cochran in here, and he has some questions to ask about the movie. Tell about the movie. Start telling us about it. How much money do you need? How far along you are, et cetera, et cetera. And Lee Cochran, I'm turning the mic over to Lee Cochran. He's going to take it for the movie section. So go ahead, Dave.
Okay, sure. First ask if you have if anybody has any questions about the massacre, I'd be happy to answer it before we get into the movie.
Hi, Dave. This is Lee. I was just, I've been told that the Egyptians, that the Israelis killed a lot of the Egyptians, and they were trying to cover it up, and that's why, another reason why they attacked the ship. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. As a matter of fact, this is something that the garbage media, the garbage Jewish media, has buried deep in their archives, but I uncovered it. Yeah, they even admitted that they in cold blood, like the supposed Nazis have done to the Jews and other undesirables, the story that they like to portray of the Nazis, that the horrible Nazis did exactly what these Jews did. They literally shot in cold blood 500 Egyptian prisoners of war, and they had their fellow prisoners throw them into holes and then shot them in the back of the head like the Nazis. Yes, that was something they did. They admitted it later on. They even wanted to pay compensation for what they did. But that could have been a reason why the Liberty was attacked. But the main reason that the Liberty was attacked was that Israel was afraid that the U.S. would intercept communications showing that they were next planning on taking the Golan Heights, which, as I mentioned before, this time period in world history is really the reason for all of the misery, or most of the misery, that we as Americans have been experiencing. Because prior to this illegal land grab during the Six-Day War, the only terrorism that existed in the United States was from Puerto Ricans. There was no such thing as Arab terrorism, Muslim terrorism, Islamist terrorism. It's only because Israel stole this land and continues to hold it illegally that the Arabs have tried everything to get their land back. And since they failed because Israel is backed up by the United States, they've resorted to other methods. So prior to the illegal land grab, only Puerto Ricans attacked the United States.
Yeah, I've read a lot of things. We're not told the truth, and really this was really a sneak attack on the Arabs. It wasn't like Israel did a miraculous thing, but that's for another time. Do we know? Are there any Israelis living who attacked the machine, attacked the boat, that we can get their names? And do we know that much? Who flew the ships?
As a matter of fact, I've been in communication via email with the lead pilot who attacked.
Uh-oh. Hold it right there, Dave.
Sure.
Okay, team, we're taking a break now. Okay. We'll be back.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no money.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Hey, I'm just an old chunk of coal.
Okay.
But I'm gonna be.
Okay, Dave, go ahead and tell us, do we know the names of the individual soldiers who did these war crimes?
Yeah, well, I personally am in communications with the lead pilot who attacked the Liberty. and in Israel. We've went back and forth a couple times on email, but he's not prepared to admit anything. So this fellow reached the rank of brigadier general, and he's actually not a bad guy. He actually refused to attack Palestinians. So there's some redemption there, but no, he's not prepared to tell the full story about what happened. But I'm sure that the reason they attacked the Liberty wasn't to sink it, because all it would take would be one heavy bomb, and that would have taken it out, because it wasn't a warship and it wasn't armored. But their job was just to make sure it couldn't communicate to give away their plans. So, one Israeli who's still alive, I've communicated with.
Well, this is fascinating. This is new information about what we've been kept from hearing. And getting to the movie, who's going to star in it, or is it a documentary, or how much money do you need? More money for it? Donations for it?
Right. Well, what's happening now, Lee, is that first of all, it's a full-length feature film. It's going to be a full-length feature film. There have been several documentaries about the Liberty that have been made, but the Jewish powers have prevented these movies or these documentaries from airing in the United States on the Jewish-controlled networks. They've been able to air in Europe, but not in the United States. And there's a big rumbling here. So if we get disconnected, just call me on that home phone that I gave to Eddie. Oh. But
Eddie,
there's a full, it's a full length feature film is like an historical. It's called a docudrama. A narrative film is a fictional film. This is going to be a full length feature film, a docudrama based on real events. Where it sits now is that we are collecting donations. People donate to us almost every day, and the money just sits there until we need to put it to good use to market the film or to get more books, because all of the money that comes from book sales go into the fund for the film. Right now we are in communication with, or I am in communication with, a heavyweight in Hollywood, and I'm going to be probably meeting with him coming up soon. This particular fella is not a producer or a director, but he is a box office draw, and when he heard about it through one of my contacts, he couldn't believe it, as most people can't believe it, and so he wants to desperately get involved in it. And I made sure that I asked my contact, does he know, it involves Jews, and you can't say anything except positive things about Jews. That's the state of this once great nation. And he assured me that he does know, because I'm not going to waste my time on somebody who thinks that they're going to get something done, because it.
Yeah, I know that's going to make the Jewish elite as mad as hell if they get it done, but if this guy's a well-known actor, probably has millions of dollars that he could maybe support the film, produce the film or something like that. Or we need other millionaire Americans, patriots to produce this.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not Mel Gibson, is it? I don't know. I don't know. But
I think we lost our guest right now. Oh, if they get him back.
Okay. Oh, we lost the guest. Hold on. Here, Eddie, you take it away.
Okay.
We lost the guest. I'm hoping our listening audience is really eating this up, and I really hope they go and purchase books for them. Because any funding that they get to develop that movie will actually go a long way. Pennies go a long way, believe it or not. When you do these,
you got that right.
Projects.
I think I gave the landline to our man here, Lee, is going to text in the landline number of Dave's landline number to Sam. But people, great.
Okay, people, we're going to Sam's getting him right back as soon as he can. But you know, I think it's been a great show. And if you people, if you would support this fella all you can, because it takes a lot of money to make a movie. It takes a lot of money to publish a book. So what I'd like to do when we get him back, I would like to make some kind of deal with Dave, if we could, if we possibly could, we could get some of his books and maybe possibly get him autographed by
Hey, I'm back. I'm sorry about that. And that's why.
Oh, that's quite all right. That's quite all right.
Fashion landlines are kind of important, right?
Yes, they are. They most certainly are. And since you're back, I think I'm going to go. Matt, do you have any questions there since we've had you on the line, fella?
What kind of progress are you saying y'all have made on raising funding for your movie? Like, if has the movie been totally funded by this person that stepped in from Hollywood?
No,
or?
No, we don't. No, it's not. And that's why I was saying earlier, I think it's most important for your listeners to get the book and read it versus jumping and make a donation. Phil and I are very careful about this. We're both, very parsimonious about the money. The money is segregated, and it's in an account that, as I said, doesn't get touched. And originally we thought, well, heck, we could go to a bunch of Americans and they would fund this thing because, once they find out about the Liberty, then that's what they'd want to do. But the problem is that the brainwashing has been so complete that, that has presented some issues. So I think that because of this and other things that right now I can't talk about, I think that we're probably going to secure the funding from more institutional avenues. But, of course, we still do need funding from regular Americans to do the things that we do, like we travel around the country to talk about the Liberty. We have to print out more books when we need them, when they sell, which they do. So I think that we're going to have some good news coming up shortly regarding the funding for the movie.
And do you Dave, think any actual survivors are going to be in the movie? I would like to see, I mean, it's just my opinion, but I like seeing a face to a name, you know.
Example, Phil was 20 years old when the massacre occurred. He's going to be 72 this month. So probably the survivors are not going to be in the movie. Maybe they might have some kind of a cameo appearance. I don't think any of them are actors. Also, there's a problem with the survivors not being on the same page. There are, believe it or not, many of the survivors who are pro-Israel.
That's unbelievable.
Yes, yes. And actually, not friends, believe it or not, of getting the truth out about the massacre. I know that was hard for me to understand, but because I steeped myself in all this, unfortunately, I uncovered that as well.
That's what we fight every day. I never knew. I knew we fight our own people. I never knew it was that bad.
It's bad.
Another question, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, the old biblical quote, for fear of the Jews, the fear is also a big reason people don't want to come fire by. My question is, have you been threatened by anybody any high up bureaucrats in the media, in the government, the Zionist Jews? Have you been threatened? I'm sure there's been some attacks against you to try to keep this movie from coming on board. Have you experienced
any
of
that? Not yet. And the reason is because they don't know about our progress, and we've kept it under wraps, which is very important. The two people who had attempted to make a movie about the Liberty prior in the 80s and the 90s, both of them ended up dead.
Wow.
One of them, a fellow by the name of Norm Wallen. He supposedly shot himself, and the other one, a fellow by the name of Dick Carlson, I think it was, he had a one-car crash coming back from the 35th Liberty reunion. So,
wow. You know, by the way, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but according to Nebraska Senator John DeKalb,
yes, sure,
who wrote the Franklin, you know, he said that one of the favorite ways the occult has to taking people out is by these one car crashes, because these people, they get these people that worship Satan, and they think if they do the bidding of their master Satan, and they do the bidding or their bidding of their master witch, warlock, whatever. That's their quickest way to get in their hellish paradise, whatever that is. That's kind of interesting. I'm not saying that's what happened.
That comes into play here, and these guys had secured actually the funding for the film. So, and the reason they don't want this to come out, it's very simple. Once people see, and I tell people this movie will not have any happy endings. Once people see what the Israelis did, how they did it, and they see what their own U.S. government did, it's over for them.
We've run out of time, Dave. Sadly, we've run out of time. We have had a fantastic time interviewing you tonight.
Well, I did too.
Hey, for Scoop Stanton, Sean Bergen, Art Frith, and Winston Smith, they were all sailors. For me, Lee, Matt, Sam, Dave, y'all have a very happy, good night. Have a wonderful night, and thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you very much, y'all.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dave. We'll be getting back in touch with you soon.